Hey there! Get ready to be inspired, uplifted, and unapologetically real with women in real life. I'm CJ, your host, and I wear many hats. From being a mom to a corporate professional, author, and a certified life coach. But here on Women in Real Life, I'm just a Caribbean mom getting it done one coffee cup at a time. Real conversations about the challenges, celebrating triumph, and diving into the everyday experiences of women. Set that for the reminder, unapologetically real, empowering, and uplifting. Hashtag no filter. What does Lori Harvey, Rachel Bilson, and Jennifer Coolidge all have in common? Well, their names all came up on the first page when I did a search recently about body count. What else do you notice? Well, they're all women. Big surprise, right? I recently wrote an article about the topic of body count and how women are misrepresented on the topic. Well, let's just say the men were not having it. They came out in full support of each other in the comments and really let it be known how they feel on the topic of body count for women and why it is so important versus men. So I decided to take it a step further, and I sat down with a good friend of mine, we'll call him Mr. Fox, to hear his opinion on the topic of body count and why it is so important when it relates to women. So Women in Real Life, like I said, has been on loop, and I have been getting, you know, interesting mix of comments over the last few months on the topics that have appeared in Women in Real Life. I will tell you this, it's not all pretty. Some of them are just plain mean. But the good thing is when I started Women in Real Life, I already knew what to expect. And so it does not get to me as a person, some of the comments. I do find them interesting. I laugh at some of them. But the biggest thing for me is that it is creating the dialogue, right? Is that people are talking, men, women, they're exchanging sometimes very one-sided views. They are discussing it. And I've had a few, you know, high comment topics. The very first topic was about men and women and how I believe we as women now putting some undue and unfair expectations and pressure on men in certain things. For example, the paying on the first date, the expectations of where the first date should be, drawing the line between what is independence and what is not. And let me tell you, oh, the comments blew up. I was called a female Andrew Tate. I was called so many things in these comments by women. And the men were in the comments, of course, you know, feeling supported. So 2 weeks ago, I wrote on the topic of body count. Oh, bomb drop. And this time, the men are in their feelings. They've been hurt. They feel so seen and so victimized. Like, how could I say that? Because I simply brought up the topic of body count from the context of why does it matter? Why also is the topic of body count only relevant when it comes to women? I brought up the topic from the context of why bully somebody online if their body count, quote unquote, does not meet your requirements. I brought up the topic from the context of men are given a pass to be community property. That's how I call it, because they're all over the place, right? You could be all over the place. You have no one, you have no one residence. You're sharing everything you need to share with everybody. You're doing a service. You get into your 50s. You're like a sprinkler, if you know what I mean. And yet you are given the titles of macho and the man's man, and you have women at your feet, and then a woman is called, used. And like a male colleague of mine told me yesterday in the Lucian parlance, Bayeux. Now, I didn't say it the way you all probably know it in St. Lucia. I'm still trying to be polished. But the reality is that women are given this negative connotation. We're given this idea that if we have perhaps had, you know, relationships that don't meet a certain number, then all of a sudden we are not good enough. We have passed our mark, right? And that was what the topic was on. And of course, like I said, the men were in their feelings. I was trying to actually read some of the comments. I would have to polish some of them for you because some of them were really just, like I said, I can't even say the words online. One person said that the article sounded like it was written from a dash who found God. I will let you fill in the blanks and I will tell you that whatever you come up with, it was probably that or worse. He spelled it incorrectly, but I'm not here to be the, you know, the English language police. But he said that I sounded like a dash who found God. The others said that they stopped reading after the first paragraph because it just sounded like it must be written by a woman. Well, really? It's called Women in Real Life. I mean, I'm just saying. If it's called Women in Real Life, you do expect it. I don't know what you're expecting to find. But, you know, the men were in their feelings on that one. And so I thought for the first episode of Women in Real Life on Rhythm, that I will go big and go brave. And so I decided to bring in studio. I would say a very close buddy of mine who I rely on for a lot of context, actually, when I write and in everything that I do when it comes to, you know, getting real perspective from men. I really reach out because he really does give me the perspective unfiltered and as real as possible, right? So I brought him here today. We shall call him Fox.
I was told not to laugh.
Why were you told not to laugh?
Because my laugh would give my true identity away, apparently.
Are we trying to hide your identity?
Definitely.
Yes, well, too late for that. Well, too late for that. I mean, I'm just saying. Your hair. No, but really, are you here? Do you feel any apprehension being here and talking about, you know, this in public?
No, actually, I don't. I think the even given the name Fox, most persons would probably know me by that name more so. So ideally, it doesn't make a difference to me.
All right. And I must say thank you because when I mentioned that I was starting the show, always super supportive, always, you know, when you talk about allies and having allies as men, right? But, you know, always super supportive of these types of conversations. And he was like, yeah, I'll come on. Yeah, he's ready. Like he's ready to give his perspective. You know, like tone it back a bit, right? We're not coming here to fight. This is not a feminist or anti-feminist show. This is not a pro-man, anti-man show. This is none of that.
No comment.
No comment. Slip in the Lucian woods. But it's none of that. It's really the intention is to just discuss these topics in an open and what I believe to be a fair way, right? And giving the perspective of, you know, people who have experienced certain things in an unfiltered way and not trying to feign perfection. So before I jump into this, I'm going to read a few headlines for you.
Okay.
So I did a search. And I must tell you guys, she doesn't want to say anything, but I'll let you know Yaz is here, right? So if you hear laughing from another woman, it's her in the background. Yes, finally, say it. She's trying not to say anything, but I will be pulling her at some point. But I decided to do a search online in preparation for this topic. And I simply put headlines of celebrities and body counts. I did not specify. And I will read some of the headlines for you. Rachel Bilson reacts to feud with Whoopi Goldberg over body count comments. Rachel Bilson shares her experience and reflections on the criticism she received. Next one, celebrities who have shared the number of people they have had sex with. Jennifer Coolidge has been openly sharing her experiences. Third one, Lori Harvey. I'm not saying this to be a joke, actually. This actually came up. Lori Harvey, list of models. Body count, including celebrities. Next one, Megan Thee Stallion. I said it correctly. Megan Thee Stallion. Do I pronounce my TH or do I just say D? Megan Thee Stallion, celebrity body count revealed in Tory Lanez trial. Is it Lanez? Lorenz. That's what I thought. I think it's spelled incorrectly. So, and then of course, I got a bunch of articles about Taylor Swift. So I did a search for celebrities, body count, and every single headline includes a woman. Every headline that speaks to body count, especially in from the context of criticism, is about a female celebrity. And it really highlighted the point for me as to how this topic is so skewed when it comes to the gender of the person that is being discussed. The word or the term body count does not even come across as body count when you talk about a man. You'll see conquests.
Yeah.
You'll see relationships. All of a sudden, they're relationships, right? But with women, they are body counts. And that just did it for me. And so I wanted to have you here today just to discuss that. And you did give me some interesting feedback, which I did put into the article, which we'll get into. But I really just wanted to hear upfront, unpolished, unfiltered, why the bleep does body count matter so much when it relates to women?
Okay, so where do I begin?
From the very beginning.
Okay, so let me put in my disclaimer that the views, these are solely my views. So it's not, this is not Rhythm FM, this is solely my view. And the reason I actually, and you know me very well, Charlene, the reason I say it, sorry, CG, that I think my trend of thought is a lot different from most persons. As you know, I'm very vocal and I'm very expressive, but I'm also very, a bit rebellious. I don't trend with the norm. So I can give a perspective from a man's point of view. It may not be every man's point of view. I can give a perspective of a man that has experienced a lot in life already, even on the topic clearly that we're speaking on, and that's why you have me here, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. And then I find it amusing sometimes that persons speak on things that they are not an expert in, because how are you going to speak about body count if you have no body count, essentially?
So, what is body count? Correct. I mean, maybe we should have started with that. Like, yeah. I know, but what is body count?
Well, and anyway, that's a good thing. Let's clearly define that, because ideally, the body count would be, as most persons know, how many persons somebody has been intimate with, mm-hmm. or sexually intimate with. And I think when you spoke about it, it was so it's eye-catching that when you speak about a woman's body count, how it's very critical. But I'm a huge sports fan. I love the NFL. I love football. I love basketball. And I remember growing up, and they spoke about, you know, in the 80s, the conquest of Magic Johnson. Famously, the conquest. So you see the words mm-hmm. that they use. Speaking about, I don't want to say the wrong name. Was it Bill Russell or... I think it was Bill. It was one of the older basketball players who famously... So when the line came in, they said he had famously said how he had slept with over 20,000 women during his playing career. 20,000 women. 20,000.
Let's do the math for a second.
Yes. So even when you think about the backlash and the... It's almost more... There's more of a fascination at that accomplishment. But with a woman... It's a total opposite. And then, like you said, as we go through the conversation, I will give my insight as to why I think that's the case. But also for me, I and that's why I said this clip, I'm speaking on my views. Body count for me is a very irrelevant issue or irrelevant conversation. I've never had that conversation with someone that I've been involved with. I've never asked someone, how many persons have you been with prior to me? The reason being is that you're not going to ask them how many they're going to be with after. That's one.
True.
The idea naturally is that you don't anticipate that there should be an after. If it is that you're going to be in some relationship with someone, and even the instances when a lot of men are just playing the field or, you know, sleeping around, and they don't seem to see the need to want to know. But once they do know, what I dislike is the men who try to chastise or refer to a certain woman as such. And the real truth is that you don't know what somebody's body count is. You make assumptions. You may think if a woman said to you that she's been with 5 men, you might think that's few. For her, it might be a lot, because her intention probably was never to be with 5 men. And then another woman may have been with 30, and you'll be like, how could you have done 30? And then she's thinking that 30 is not, at 55 probably may not be huge to her. So I think a lot of things are, it's a perspective that you have, and it's really about your, you know, a lot of people have a moral compass or ideals and whatnot, which does not apply to me.
You have no moral compass?
No, I don't. Oh. I always let Yasmin's mouth just drop.
No, yeah. Why did your mouth drop, Yasmin? Yes. You didn't expect him to admit to it, or you just, okay. Well,
I didn't look that way, right?
You didn't look that way? Okay. Okay, yeah. Right. So from your perspective, from you as an individual, the body count topic is not relevant with how you interact with women.
Correct.
However, you have your pulse. You are part of the, mm-hmm. And let me, it's not to assign judgment, and I know I can say this to you. You would be considered the man's man, right?
Apparently.
And so you are famously. Speaking from a place of privilege, famously, infamously.
Yes.
You would be speaking from a place of privilege mm-hmm. on this topic, meaning from yeah. the context of the man
yeah.
being the man's man mm-hmm. and that being a good thing, you would have that insight. But you would also have insight when it comes to the other men who, unlike you, do place a lot of value in that topic.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to know, those men, you know it. Mm-hmm. Why is it that body count is relevant for those men or for the wider society when mm-hmm. it comes to women?
I would say a couple of things. So if I'm speaking on, which I cannot do, and that's why I always said I speak for myself, but in my observation and speaking to different men throughout my life, even at my younger age, and I had more, I would say, older men, older influences in my mid-30s, where I'm like, you kind of, all your peers, we're thinking the same way. What I've observed is that you have different factions, I'll say, of men and how they think. There are men who are, I think from observation, the concern with body count is, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but I believe there's a level of insecurity. There's insecurity meaning, if this person has had so much experience with different persons, where do I measure up? And that measuring up. No, I'll be straight up. So the measuring up, and for men, that's what it is. The measuring up may be physical and both mentally. How do they measure up? How does this person connect with them? I think, so that's one element. Then you do have, like I said, the moral compass. This is not, and when I mentioned that I am not a moral, morality for me is very subjective. So for me, I have my own values that I place on myself and I place on people that I interact with. So I am not determined, or I am not dictated by religion per se or what society says, because you would very well find that somebody, you may fall in love with someone who everyone believes has had the worst, who has lived a very frivolous life as a woman. And you very well may be, that's the person you end up choosing. And you go on for another 20 years and you solely with this person. So what does it matter prior to? And the problem that I have with society is that the most judgmental people are the people who profess to be so. I will not go into the religious aspect of it, but they always seem to know. And you should do this and you should not do that. But really and truly, life is defined by what you choose to do. And we all know what is right and wrong. I would not say, hey, I simply do what I want without affecting someone. But to have this mindset of, oh, this person, you shouldn't be sleeping with so many men. Or they're women, and that's just going to another topic. They're women who are involved with men, not because they are in love with them, but society is so messed up that they're involved with someone who has to pay their rent. They're involved with somebody who has to pay the court's bill. They're involved with this person because that's the father of their child. So people don't look at how deep this issue actually goes, because it's just you appear to be promiscuous because you are involved with so many men or have been, but situations vary. Speaking on that, when I said about other men, I believe that there are men who are in their mind, they believe that morally a woman's supposed to be clean, or I'm supposed to be a woman's first, I'm supposed to be maybe her second or her third. But then what number are you for?
I was just about to ask you that. Yeah.
So a lot of men don't assess themselves first. And how many persons have you been with?
Exactly. Why should I settle for baggy pants?
Mm-hmm.
You started off as skinny jeans. You're yes. coming to me as baggy pants.
Correct.
I mean, I'm trying, and you want me to accept it and just yes. try and wear it and rock it. But mm-hmm. you will sit on the sidelines and assume. Mm-hmm. So my question is, why is it that women, and I know this topic goes much further back, yeah. and I said so in the article. I know that I think if we sit here and pretend that it doesn't have deeper systemic and cultural mm-hmm. connections, that it would be wrong. We know that. We
yeah.
know that it goes all the way back to the expectations of women and finding good husbands.
Correct.
We know that it goes all the way back, very biblical, to when the church, and we know this, did in fact have a lot of controlling power in society.
Yeah.
We know that it goes back to all of these things. But then my question is why in 2024, when, you know, again, we choose the things that matter to us. So we want to choose the things from religion.
Yes.
We want to choose the things from religion that we want to keep certain things, but we want to let go of certain things. We want to keep some things from olden days, but we want to let go of certain things to suit us, right? So why is it that in 2024, when we have all of where we're supposed to be one of the most enlightened stages of human of human life, we have so much knowledge, we have all of this experience, why would the topic of how many men a woman has been with be in a TikTok video or be the subject of online bullying, when we know that at the end of the day, a man's capacity and a man's performance can also be affected by the number of people that he's been with?
That I cannot vouch for.
I know you can't and you wouldn't. And if you did, I'd be quite worried. But my point is, if we talk about the physical part of it, about, well, men want a woman who's untouched and used. I want a man who's untouched and unused. And or maybe I don't. Maybe I want somebody who's coming to me with experience.
Yeah.
So why is it that we are still making this an issue? And you said something about insecurity, and I wanted to go back to that. Because actually in today's article, look out for that one, guys. It's actually connected because I speak to undercover relationships.
That I know nothing about.
Of course you don't. No, you don't. I believe you. I believe you. You really need to look out for this article. It's basically about hidden relationships and keeping things behind closed doors and the reasons behind it, right? And one of the things that came up was, how will society view me? And I highly suspect that for men, a lot of it comes back to, how will people view me as a man if they know that I've been with somebody who supposedly has been promiscuous? How does that affect my image as a man?
Yeah.
Because these same, not all of them, but I know of people who are very comfortable having relationships with people who are promiscuous behind closed doors. They have no problem with that.
So it is really how they appear in society's
eyes.
Yeah.
So you have no problem with the behind the door bacchanal, right? Yeah. With this person, because you figure, yes. But then to go out with them.
Yeah, it's a different. But in something you mentioned, it goes back to our, I wouldn't say, it's cultural and it's our past as well. And your past naturally is what your present and your future will be. Something that is very interesting, what you just pointed out, on both sexes, men generally, when a man selects a woman that he wants to be his woman, naturally he wants a woman who reminds him of his mom. The reminder of his mom, one second, I'll tell you guys why. Yeah, it's not, women always say that. Men look for women who have the qualities of their mom. So a man will not say, oh, I'm in love with this one because she looks like my mom. That is creepy. That is way out there. What you find is that, I remember when I was growing up, my mom carried herself a certain way. She made sure she looked a certain way. So the women that I've always, I guess, chosen to be a woman in my life had that representation that this is how a woman is supposed to carry herself. This is how a woman speaks. This is how a woman...
So qualities.
The qualities of a woman. By contrast now, you've always heard women naturally go for men that remind them of their fathers. In St. Lucian society, think about it.
I'm thinking about it now. Do we say that?
So if you don't say, listen, look at what happens. And many women have been through it. A lot of women have been involved with men who have been notorious for having a lot of women. How many young women do you know have grown up seeing, being in a household where their mom does everything right? She's holding the marriage together, but the father is the one who's promiscuous, even being married. So psychologically, you still don't realize that there's an attraction that you still have because, and I've always said it, and women sometimes will say, no, that's not the case. Women have a desire to be fixer-uppers, nurturers. Women always see something that's not good and believe that they can make it better. And I could tell you now, this is the worst thing to get into. Because what you see a man is what he will be and will continue to be. Women, someone said to me years ago, she said to me that, women will see a dog in the rain.
We still talking about mess. Men here, or are we talking about dogs?
Well, you could align it so it matches up.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. I mean, I just had to speak
the You can literally go and buy this nice puppy. It has all its shots, but they want the one that they think they need to nurture and fix it and cut its hair and do whatever. But it's still the same sick dog that you probably found out there. It's not going to change. But actually, for a real dog, you can fix it. That's the difference. So when it comes to, like I said, a societal thing, I think people have to look at what is it that you are looking for, whether you know it you know it, or you don't realize there's a pattern in what you keep doing. Because a lot of us do things and it's very habitual and we don't realize it. A lot of women tell you they keep, and you hear them talk. You see them on, you see them on Twitter bashing men. You see them on TikTok, on Instagram. But what they're really bashing is the choices that they have made. Because for someone to constantly be talking about how disgusting men are, is because you keep meeting and being involved with disgusting men. Because if you've met somebody for the last 5 years that is not ideally disgusting in your eyes, mm-hmm. you're not going to be vocal on Twitter or Instagram or mm-hmm. Facebook bashing men.
Exactly.
So it really speaks to you. What are the decisions that you are making? And by contrast, men who are continuously involved with many women don't seem to have a problem with it.
Don't seem to have a problem with what?
With their current lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Correct. You're not going to see a man who people deem to be a gallus in St. Lucia terms.
A what?
A gallus.
Okay.
That's why I should be on the other radio station.
You should be on the
air.
So, let's break
what, your, oh, so for, what I've commented is a womanizer.
Okay.
Correct.
What's it called? So I can say
a gallus.
Gallus.
Okay. So think of a cyclist.
Gallus.
So replace cycle with gal.
Gal.
And this, a gallus.
I'm sure I've heard this in I'm dancehall songs.
Yeah, so it's still relevant.
So it's not, okay,
yeah.
Gallus.
It's just that you've fallen off a bit, but it's...
Stop it. I have actually. I can't keep up with I can't keep up with all of it. It's a little too raw sometimes. So, okay.
Yeah.
So the gallus. Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of these things play a part. And that's why when it comes to, back to the subject of body count, a man, you will not think of your mom as, you know, most men in their mind, their mom, the only sexual partners their mom has would be the people that she had children with. Think about, you've ever thought of a woman, let me tell you, men, in men's eyes, their mother had only ever had sex with their father. And if they have any other kids who had a different father with, and that's it.
When you find out that mama, happens when you...
I've never found out.
I'm just saying, what happens if you find out that, hey?
But I'll give you another example. I remember when I was maybe in my early 20s. So there's a very close friend or partner of mine, I should say. And he was with the girlfriend he had at the time. We used to crack, we would catch kicks or crack jokes on him and say, yo, this chick is a what people like to say, a loose, if I can say it right. And he was in love. This is his girl and whatnot. And she was very sneaky. I can tell you that for sure.
She was like a man.
She was sneaky and she was very good at it,
so
right?
She was like a man. Although
she was. There are some men who are very good. The problem, we'll touch on why some men are not as good as women when it comes to that. That's a whole other conversation. But this is the funniest thing. When we got a little bit older, we've left school, we're working, she becomes a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I remember once we were having a discussion, you know, fellas sitting around talking shit and whatnot. And one said, yo, you know, when we went to school, our teachers, in our mind, our teachers were not sexually active. Miss, because you know, everybody knows Miss doesn't. You just look at Miss as this perfect angel. And then we're like, this chick is a teacher now. But we sure her students don't look at her like the way we view her. So it goes back to show you that everybody has a view or perspective of someone that they know in their life, but it's not, this person's life is not what you think it is. So it really goes, like I said, all of these conversations are, what is it that you are taking away from it? And that's why I said, for me, it doesn't matter, because there's no one that I meet and I ever think about. I never think about anybody prior to me, because to me, that's non-existent.
Oh, gosh. And then the room just got so much smaller. the aura of Mr. Fox just filled up the room so much.
But if you think about it, then if you don't have that, if you don't think of it that way mentally, then you set up yourself already for failure. Because a man who is constantly thinking of what other men have done, and that goes in all phases, and I've experienced it, you're always a step behind. Because like I said, the way I operate, and you know me very well, CJ, I'm not a man's man. And people realize that I'm my own man, that's the best I could say it. I'm not the guy who is chilling and sitting out with other guys in the barbershop and talking about what I've done. It's just not my thing. But I've been around that, and I think maybe in my earlier days, it was more, you know, like in my mind, that's how boys are. I think it's a very boyish mentality. I think as you get older, you, especially if you are very confident in your own self and the things that you want to do, these conversations for me are not very it's not enticing. It's not intriguing. One thing I hate to do is hear men talk about people they've been with. It's a huge, huge turn off for me.
No, but we're here talking about this very interesting topic. And Fox, before we went to break, we were just talking about...
Before we went to break, yeah.
Oh my goodness. This is a morning show on Rhythm 95.5. Oh my goodness. Before we went to the break,
yes,
we were speaking on your views of whether the body count topic is relevant or not. We were also talking about the perception of men in society and why we believe that it matters to them. You brought up something that really, I think, unpacked some ideas that we really need to think about later on, about how men perceive women as they compare to their mothers and the female figures that they hold up. And it was quite interesting because we were talking about during the break, why does it matter? And some of the things that came up is, guess what? I could lie.
Yeah.
Right? So if you were brave enough to ask me what's my body count, I could lie.
But all women lie about their body count. I can tell you why.
Let me say that. I don't think any man has ever asked me that.
But the reason you lie about your body count is that...
Perception?
No, it's not. You don't even remember the people who don't matter to you. That's true.
Do we have sound effects?
And you see, if you're saw the reactions right now, I'm telling you that there are women.
Can
who...
you shut the mic on this man for me? Wait.
Women, there are some men who are so irrelevant sexually to them, they don't count. So whether that's a physical or mental thing, I don't. You see how I turned it up a notch in your second segment of the show?
No, but let me say this, I'll turn it right back at you. It goes both ways. Yes. What is your body count?
I cannot remember. I really don't have a count. I cannot honestly tell you that I know what
and
it
why?
Is.
Why can't? Why can't? For the same reason you just mentioned, right?
No, for me, it's a totally different thing. For one, it's not something that I make an issue about or I keep a track of. And for me, I think the other element is going to... The reason is different for women, I believe. I believe women are more emotional. So for a woman, if you normally... Not saying in every scenario, but most times if a woman is sexually engaged with a man, it's more up here for her. It's emotional more than anything. That's what we men believe. I cannot say that I know for sure.
Continue believing.
Correct. Because there are some men who probably either. Just simply want...
They yes. exist.
Exactly. So that's what they I'm saying. Exist. So men believe that most of the time it's more of an emotional mindset. Men, and something that I'm always very disgusted by, and I remember saying this years ago, that I'm not going to say graphically, but let's put it this way. If there's a woman who is bent over by the roundabout with her dress up and she just says, anybody take me, somebody will. But if there's a man who lays down on the roundabout and says, somebody take me, there's no woman is going to jump at the opportunity to do that.
You might find lots of people.
Well, but it shows you is thinking of the two sexes. Men sometimes act so what I say, people say this or so
Swift. I remember Swift.
Swift, yeah, exactly.
I know.
So is the funniest thing is that when we have that conversation and men are the ones who are more critical about a woman's body count, the majority of the time the man has the much higher body count.
Exactly.
But he's just so worried about what a woman's body what her body count is.
I must thank my friend, Mr. Fox, for spending time with us and sharing openly on this topic. You know, the truth is, at least in my opinion, it's perfectly fine for you to think whatever you want to think when it comes to the topic of body count and how women should carry themselves, and all that is good. What's not okay is the online bullying that comes with it. Too many women find themselves on the receiving end of really hurtful words when it comes to what people perceive to be their body count, when really it's just their business. When it comes to body count, yes, there is a place for it. If the conversation is from the perspective of sexual health, if the perspective is, I have met you and I would like to have a relationship with you, and we need to discuss any potential threat to our health in this relationship. But we all know that many times that is not the angle. Many times it's just people who sit on their high horses and want to point a finger without pointing the finger first at themselves. Whatever your perspective is, that's okay. but let's try to do it with a little more humanity. Let us know what you think on this topic and join us for another episode of Women in Real Life. That's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed sharing with you. If you like what you heard, go ahead, subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating or a review so that more amazing women like yourself can find the Women in Real Life podcast. And of course, you never miss an update. I'd also love to hear from you. If you have a topic suggestion, a story you'd like to share, or just want to connect, then click on the links in the description so we can connect via social media or on the website. It would be awesome if you joined the Live Life Mosaic Circle. Thanks for tuning in and keep being your amazingly imperfect and wonderful self. Remember, you're not alone. We're all a little bit broken, but sometimes it's broken pieces that make the most beautiful things. Until next time, bye-bye.